is Motor Chat on 88.7 Adelaide's Coast FM.
Yes, good evening. It is Motor Chat. EB, Cathy and Harold here in the studio, and we've got a special guest tonight.
Morris
Stevens. I do apologise. I've just had an absolute mental blank. It was sitting there right in my mind the whole time.
And whereabouts is Morris from?
Morris is from the Adelaide Ulysses Club, and I will... We'll come back to something that we were talking off air about it raining and you're going to need the sandbags.
Yeah, okay, we will. Okay, good evening, Morris.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, I think it's important that we talk to members of the sort of one of the biggest groups, motorcycle groups, virtually in Australia, isn't it, the Ulysses?
We've got quite a large number of members. And I just have to say that we're not actually a motorcycle club. Ulysses refers to itself as just the Ulysses because we don't... We're members of a group that is a social club. That have a common interest in motorcycles.
Right, okay.
Rather than being a motorcycle club, which has connotations in itself.
Yeah.
And the reason it was set up was a chap by the name of Stephen Durnley. In 1983, he had four other group people with him, also elderly, and they were not welcome to be riding with some of the young riders, who basically said to him, "Why don't you just grow old gracefully and..."
Bye-bye,
yes. Yeah. So they thought, well, okay, let's start up a club that's for older riders. And that's what he did.
So where did the name Ulysses come from?
Ulysses came from a poem. Lord Tennyson, I think it was, wrote a poem about Ulysses in his older years... And he's longing for the adventure and all that sort of stuff he had with his fellow sailors.
Yep.
So that sort of rang a bell with Stephen, and he thought that was a good name to call the club because they're all old, looking for adventure. That's the thing to do. Yeah,
that's fantastic. I stand corrected. I didn't realise that there was no motorcycle club on the end of that. So that's thank you for that information.
Yeah.
Never too old to learn something new.
And just to clarify, the reference I made at the introduction of the show is one of your members is on his way to Perth at the moment, I believe, on his bike.
Yes. Our secretary of our branch... yes, he's heading across to the national AGM, which is held in Mandurah in Western Australia. So I wish him good luck because the weather report wasn't too good for the Nullarbor. So let's see how he goes.
Exactly. What last I heard, evidently, it had been, the train's been stopped. Nothing's going by rail, and certainly the road has been closed. And I think, from memory, something like about 4 to 5 days they're going to wait before they reopen it again. If they open it at all in that time, providing no more rain happens. Mm. So the sandbags might be necessary on the Nullarbor.
Mind you, we have been through there when there's been rain, and it was heavy. Mm. We were on our way from Norseman down to Esperance. And the day that we went through, they'd just opened the road, but there was still 18 inches of water on the road.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit hairy because you could see the tops of the white posts, but not much. You couldn't see the road full stop. You could just see the white posts. So
if the Ulysses is the, I guess, the mental mentor for the club, does that mean that the... the members go out for the mayhem, warfare and plunder that Ulysses undertook when he was a young man? He did help aid in the Battle of Troy.
And, you put that eloquently, thank God.
Yes. Far from it. most of our guys have either ridden motorcycles all life or, like my case, gave it up when they had children.
Mm-hmm.
And found that they, once the children had left home, that you were longing for that adventure again and went out and bought another motorcycle. So most of the guys are looking for that belonging to a group of like-minded people. And that's what Ulysses is offering them. And they're not prejudiced against any sort of bikes. You can ride a scooter, or you can ride a Monster Harley or a Goldwing or whatever. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And that's the philosophy of Ulysses, is that you are welcome all over Australia to any of our branches, any of our rides, any of our events.
Yeah, so that's...
And party on until 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Late.
Or until you get sleepy, whichever comes first. Or well, last.
I was doing some work today, and I actually told the guys working with, well, I've just had my morning nap, so I'm okay for a while, but by 1 o'clock I need to stop again. So
he's only a young
thing
bloke.
Of age.
It is.
Okay. So, one, you know, I think we've sort of, you know, we've spoken about the like-mindedness and so on, but, you know, what's the big thing that really attracts so many members, you know, because your membership is in the thousands across the nation, so it's a huge group.
Well, it is that belonging to a group of perhaps the older motorcycle guys. We're not out to break speed records or do crazy things. And we enjoy going out for the ride. Like I said, it's not the destination, it's the journey that makes the difference. And that's what most of our guys are about. All our rides are tailored towards that goal of arriving somewhere and arriving safely, enjoying the ride. We set up our rides so that we always have what we call tail-end Charlies. A lot of those guys are trained in first aid. They all carry a first aid kit. So anybody that has a misadventure on the way, one of those guys will pull over, look after those guys. Either they need help or an ambulance or whatever, they will assist them while their rest of the ride can continue. We don't have huge, lengthy rides. It's designed so that we have... start a certain time, usually around 9:30 for like a Sunday ride, and around about 10:30, 11 we'll stop for morning tea, continue the ride, and then stop somewhere for lunch. So it's sort of partially a social thing rather than just a ride.
Yeah, okay. Actually, there are a lot of social riding groups out there that do that sort of thing. But, like you said, they're in the older age groups. So we're finding that a lot of the structured ride groups are like that. The younger ride groups are all Facebook based, and their rides are very much of the moment. They'll call a ride 24 hours before they go and that's it. Whereas you've got a structure.
Yeah, ours are planned pretty much 12 months in advance. We have a group of people amongst them that are what they call ride leaders. We have a coordinator that actually coordinates all those rides. And the ride leaders decide the actual route we take, the stops that we take. Like I said, it's open to anybody that wants to be a ride leader that's part of the group. And I know we have ladies who ride as well, and some of them take over as ride leader too.
So how many members have you got in the Adelaide Club?
The Adelaide Club is really hard to gauge because we have some that go on the rides, some that go to the meetings, some that go to the dinners. So you never see all of them at once, and some don't attend everything. So I'd say we'd have at least 200, 250.
Okay,
that's a bit of a guess, but like I said, we get like different people turning up to different events.
And do you know if there are how many other groups there are in South Australia?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few. The main ones we would have is Torrens Valley, which is a bit north of Adelaide, up in the Salisbury area. We have the Flurio branch. They're down south, obviously. Then there's also other branches like Mallee, We have Whyalla, Eyre Peninsula. These are all smaller branches. But they're situated all over South Australia. And once a year we have what we call an odyssey, where we have a weekend away, usually around October, and one of the branches will host that, and then everybody will go and attend, all those that can.
Now, I've got a question here. It's coming from Gary and his partner, Janine. How old do you have to be to actually become a member of Ulysses? Because you, you mentioned older people. Right. I just want to see whether Gary qualifies.
When I say old, 40 is the minimum age.
And he's got plenty of padding on that.
That's the point at which you can join, and at the, and you remain a what they call a junior member until you're 50, at which time you become a full member. You still have all the same rights, so it doesn't really matter. But officially at 50, you are a full Ulyssean member, but 40 you can join. That includes your partner. So you need to have a motorcycle license. But like I said, the partner does not. I mean, if they, they're able to join, but quite often they'll be sitting on the back. So, but they can join as a member if they like to.
Right, okay. So certainly 40 is a junior member. That's a brilliant idea about being a junior member when you've turned 40.
I can qualify for that.
You can qualify as an old codger, mate. The same as me.
given that the club is limited to the more senior levels of riders, are you worried? Is the Ulysses at all worried about diminishing memberships, particularly as it started in 85 and now some of those original members are getting pretty old? And,
well, that's true. We're always looking to, you know, get new members joining. It's getting harder, and I don't know the exact reason for that. I think the numbers are gradually diminishing. Natural attrition, obviously, we'll get rid of some of them. But, yeah, and it's difficult because, I don't know, people, the current situation, people aren't spending as much purchasing new motorcycles. So I guess that's, you know, current climate is put a bit of a downer on it. So,
Look, I think most volunteer groups, and that includes motorcycle groups, are having the same issues. The older generation are diminishing. The younger ones don't want to be part of a group that's structured, and that's their choice. So, of course, the groups, the motorcycle groups and the Ulysses and Paces, like even the service clubs are finding that their numbers are diminishing because people don't want to be part of that style of structure.
At least the Ulysses has junior members.
They do.
And therefore there's that, always that possibility that those people are going to keep going and take over
the world.
And when need be. And the number of motorcyclists is increasing.
Actually, it's quite interesting in that quite regularly we interview groups here, and you know, they're Facebook based. They and their whole thing is, yes, we like to do things, but at the same time, we don't like the idea of having a formal structure. So therefore, a constitution, being incorporated, having meetings, especially something as onerous as an AGM, that. Just don't want to hear about that sort of stuff. It's a completely different attitude towards structure.
Yeah, I think that's part of their work sort of ethics, is that they need to have that structure, whereas in their playtime they want to have something that's flawed. So the Facebook ride groups tend to be more prevalent these days than or the social groups that are very, very limited. They're very... I suppose, ad lib in the way that they run.
It's the instantaneous, attitude that is very, very prevalent.
I think that in the end, we haven't spoken about this before, that that's fairly risky in itself, in that even though it's just a posting on a Facebook page, we're going on a ride, come along. If something happens on that ride, and someone who has actually organised the ride and said, we're having this ride, they could be held liable and have no protection at all.
Yeah.
That an incorporated organisation does have,
yeah.
That will have insurance and things like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At some point, I think there's going to be a test case made and someone's going to be held liable.
Yeah, because the idea that you sign a waiver, that waiver isn't worth the paper it's written on. Never has been. So, sort of whoever organises anything in an official capacity is responsible.
Yeah, it's something that these people need to be a little bit concerned about and think very hard as to where their responsibility begins and ends.
Okay, it's 17 minutes past 7 on a Wednesday night. We do have a few words from our sponsors coming up, Kathy Ebby and Harold here in the studio, along with Maurice Stevens, and we're talking all things Ulysses Adelaide, specific.
This is Motor Chat on 88.7 Adelaide's Coast FM.
Yes, we're back and we're talking live and local and we're talking Adelaide Ulysses. Maurice, with all of the sort of the membership that you've got, what sort of bikes do they have? You mentioned something about anything and everything, no prejudice.
I know in the Adelaide Club, we have guys that ride scooters.
Mm-hmm.
The modern scooters.
Maxi scooters.
Yeah, they're big and they're powerful and they keep up with the group. We have, you name it, pretty much it's in the group. And it's quite good because there's quite often some very good discussions over different makes and models and which is best and which is the better handling, etc. We don't discriminate against any sort of bike, not even Harleys.
I think we've got to accept the fact that the Harley is very much an iconic bike. Not that I would ever want to own one, purely because it'd be just far, far too much trouble to keep clean. You've got that much chrome on them to polish. The moment it starts to drizzle, and with the dust
you
in the air,
you don't even polish the top of your head.
that was cruel. That was real cruel.
But look, we've got a group within the MRA that's a scooter club, and they have maxi scooters. So anything above 250 cc's, and they go off. Mind you, they don't very often have a full complement of scooters. Most of them can be bikes. I think there was one week when there was only one scooter, and that was it. But there are so many different types of bikes. You have three wheelers going on the rides,
yes,
as well.
Yes, we do. Yeah. There's the regular three wheelers that are converted bikes,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes like the larger ones with the
the Can-Ams.
They're very popular. They're quite welcome to come along. Mm. We've got a few of those in the group.
Actually, the good thing about the three wheelers, especially, is that it gives the ability for those riders who may not be able to swing the leg over a two wheeler, yet they can still get onto a three wheeler and have a good ride.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Scooters give you the same thing on two wheels because they invariably have a bit of a gap in the front. I know one of our riders, he's got a scooter. I went for a trip with him recently to Geelong, so there's no problem with the scooter.
We went over to pick up a scooter from Mudgee with a friend of ours, and it's a 650 Bergman, but he could scoot along faster than us if he wanted to.
Well, they will easily cruise at the speed limit all day, and certainly have more than enough power to get out of trouble if you need to. And Frank tows the trailer with his. We've done the high country with him and all sorts of places. So, they're a good bike for an alternative.
Yes. And that's the thing. You purchase a bike that suits you and suits your ability, and that's the smart thing.
So you said you've come back from a period of non-riding. Did you find when you came back to riding that it was very different?
In a way, because when you come back as an older rider, you're more aware of your mortality as a young lad. I was invincible. I've done some stupid things, I'll have to admit. But, you know, nowadays, yeah, I'm well and truly aware of my mortality, and our rides, our ride leaders maintain the speed limit, and it's geared so that it doesn't matter how much you ride as far as ability, we will cater for that. So the slowest rider, the tail end Charlie's always remain behind
you.
So
yeah.
you can join. If you're a novice rider, doesn't matter. Take your time. Gradually build up your skills. But you'll be safe.
Yeah.
Is there anything that the club does for riders that are coming back after being out for a while?
Well, the Ulysses Club will subsidise rider training.
Yes.
So if you want to do a rider training course, they will subsidise that. They also subsidise first aid courses as well, if you want to do one of those. So that's a good thing about the club. I mean, they don't pay it in full, but at least they're paying perhaps half. And that comes a long way when you, as far as expense goes.
Mm. Yeah, I have to admit, the first aid for motorcycle course is an excellent course.
Mm. I think we certainly learnt a lot out of it. And this is a few years back too that we did the course. Mm. So even just the very basic thing about how to remove a helmet.
Yes.
So many people don't know how to do it, but yet the first thing you hear at a crash scene is
get the helmet off,
and that's the last thing you want to do.
If you've got a neck injury, that's the last thing you want
to
do.
Mm. Actually, to add on to that one, I was at a scene of an accident where a fellow needed to have his helmet removed, and because I was a motorcyclist and I knew how to take the helmet off, the Ambos asked if I could help them do it because they had never done it before. Not removed it. It was two young women. Mm. And it was interesting because I'd learned how to do it and I was sort of jollying them along. They'd only seen it in practice or on video. So, yeah, it is a skill that you need to learn if you're a motorcyclist.
And I think it's a skill that you actually need to practice as well. It's not just a matter of being shown how to do it and then, you know, 3 years later you'll come across a scene that you have to put those skills into practice. You've got to learn, keep on practicing it all the time.
So, Maurice, from your perspective, what are some of the things that you need to watch out for when you're coming back into riding after having been out for a while?
I guess the thing is you need to be aware of your own abilities. Naturally, when you come back to riding, select a bike that is probably going to be suitable to you. I've seen too many guys who will jump on a bike and they can't even put their feet on the ground. And you think, well, you're going to come to grief some stage because even a competent rider, you pull up, put your foot down, loose gravel, you can quite easily fall off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a big heavy bike can do some damage to you if you happen to be under it when it goes. So, be aware of your own abilities, and if necessary, you know, get a bike that's going to suit you very well. Take it easy. Gradually get back into the thing. Even if you do a refresher course on riding skills, it's probably wise to do that.
Did you find that the bikes were more powerful than what you were riding before for the same capacity?
Certainly they are. Because I had a CBX 1000 six-cylinder back when I was young. At the time, most powerful bike in the world.
Yes,
It only just got over 100 horsepower. Well, if you've got 100 horsepower now, it's pretty fair way down the ladder. Quite square. It's scary, some of the bikes, the amount of power that they've got.
Even the Lamb's bikes are very, very fast, particularly the Ninjas. They're particularly fast.
I had a friend who was out of riding for 14 years and everyone encouraged him to come back, so he did. He bought himself a Z1000 when it was new and promptly wheelied it at the first set of lights that he took off from. And he realised after that, got to take it easy. There's a lot of power here.
Yeah.
So that was a wake-up call. It was a good one to have right at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, see, also
not get too confident.
Yeah, also, the amount of traffic on the road is totally different from when you, even
definitely.
10 years later.
Yeah, dealing with it is different.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I did exactly the same as what you did, Morris. So, I was riding a Yami 250, the SR250, which was a beautiful commuter bike. I don't think it actually had any vices, really. But the thing is that, again, we had kids, and there was an accident at work, and I saw the result of that. So I thought, I don't want Kathy to have the same issues that happened there. So 25 years later, I got back on. But the 250 was nice, but the these days, I've got the little CB 250, the Honda, and that almost felt the same as the little Yam. So yeah, that was quite an interesting thing. Yes, the technology, some of the technology had changed. The fact that everything was electric on the damn thing, as opposed to having a kickstart and all that sort of stuff. But other than that, it was fairly similar.
Yeah, so we're now using that as a learner bike, and everybody's borrowing it.
Yes, technology has come into motorcycles, and there's some fantastic stuff like ABS, which is fantastic. Gets you out of some sticky situations, things like traction control and cruise control.
Yeah.
There's just so many things that are on bikes now that I wouldn't even thought. Back then.
Well, even for some of the adventure bikes, especially, and especially the top end, they've got things like you can dial in various settings for your suspension while you're actually moving. So yeah, that's to me that seems crazy. I thought you had to get off and be a major mechanic to be able to do that in the first place. But just press a button and off it goes.
Yeah.
It's a completely different bike once you do that.
Mm.
Something for us to look forward to when we update, Harold.
Yes, yes.
You're going to update?
We will have to do that.
Your V-Stroms, you're going to update? My goodness.
Well, not at the moment. Still having too much fun with my my basic model.
Mm. Well, it's got to die first, and I don't think they're capable of doing that.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a big pie in the sky, that one, but it doesn't hurt to think that way. Yep. We've got some more messages to go through, and then we'll come back with Ryder Rounder. But Morris, hang around, whatever you do, because we've still got a lot to ask you about Ulysses and sort of the structure, the whole part of the national thing, and everything else that goes with a club like that. So,
I
called a club again. I'm sorry, I do apologise. Okay. Anyway, we are talking all things Adelaide Ulysses, and we've got Morris Stevens here, who's the president of the
Adelaide branch.
Okay, so. With the hierarchy within the, there's so many branches around here in Adelaide, and then it goes into a national base. How does that work? How does each club fit into that, into the place?
When you join Ulysses, you're actually joining the national club. Like, you're not joining a branch.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually joining the Ulysses Club, which is Australia-wide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What you do is they hand down all the guidelines to branches that want to set up as a branch. So in order to be a branch, you have to have a president, treasurer, secretary, and then another three committee members. So you have to form a committee and then apply to be able to be a branch. Being a branch is just forming a little group that people can come and meet, and the committee itself has to report back to the national committee.
Okay.
So, in actual fact, every member is actually a member of every other branch.
Okay, so you don't have
that respect. You can go anywhere in Australia. You can go to any branch meeting. You can go to any of their rides or any of their events, and you'll be welcome. And that's that's part of the Ulysses philosophy.
So is that why the AGM is such a very, very important event in the Ulysses calendar?
Yeah, they make it a big deal. People ride from all over Australia to participate in the AGM, because the AGM is not just the AGM. They do have an AGM meeting where they elect the new officers of each of the president, etc. But people go just for the social things. They have big dinners and they have entertainment. And they have all sorts of things going on, rides, etc. Yeah. Back in the glory days, it's sort of slowed down a bit now. But back in the glory days, they would have bike manufacturers attend, where you could go for test rides. They had people that were selling goods, all motorcycle related.
Yeah.
So it was quite a huge event.
Yeah.
It has diminished a bit now, but
I think most of the clubs have diminished. Most of the events like that have diminished, because I know that our event, we don't have the motorcycle clubs coming in. We don't have the manufacturers coming in, and that's a really a sad.
It's situation. It's sad because it's there's an opportunity there for them to sell motorcycles, or for people to try out things that they would like to. Unfortunately, the costs are becoming prohibitive.
I
know it's a big event. It costs a lot of money to stage an AGM. People love to attend. Some of them would, like to proudly announce, "I've been to every one that."
I have heard that, yes.
I've got the badges to prove it. It's something that they're proud of and like to attend. So,
So just on that, what's the size of the committee that organises the AGM?
Well, like I said, it's each of the branches around Australia will those that want to will bid to hold the AGM.
Okay.
So depending on who it is, some of the cost is borne by the branch, but most of the big ticket items are the national committee is the ones that pay for it. But the organisation is just done by all voluntary. So people from the branch will volunteer, and they do have specific tasks, organising entertainment, organising a venue for a start, which is...
That's huge.
Yes, it is huge because quite often there's on-site camping. There could be anything up to 3,000 motorcyclists. Turning up for that event.
Yep. I can remember Neville saying there were 2,500 up at, was it Renmark or Mildura?
Renmark or Barmara or somewhere.
The one in South Australia was at Barmara.
And there were 2,500 there or something like that.
And they rely on volunteers. All volunteers. At Barmara I volunteered myself to just spend a day doing something, whatever. So I spent the day on a gate just checking people in and out. Without all those volunteers, the event wouldn't happen.
No, it doesn't, and that's a difficulty that most events are having. A lot of places are paying people to actually come in and be gate marshals and road marshals, whatever they are, and that's a sad situation that we're losing that volunteer capacity.
Yes.
Because as we found with the toy run, it's there's so much work that's got to be done, and usually it's time critical. You haven't got the luxury of being able to set this thing up over 12 months. It's got to be all set up within the last few days, and if you haven't got the bodies to actually do the labour, you've got a major problem on your hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually the other thing too is that we've been questioned quite a few times as to, what are the costs involved? Well, we've actually published our costings, and people still say, surely it can't be that much. But when you add it up, it's those little things that suddenly start to count, and the hidden costs that nobody realises, yet they've got to be there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, things for us, it's, you know, I think the big ticket item was at one stage just hiring toilets, enough toilets to cater for the expected crowd.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Yeah.
So, with, you know, sort of being on a national basis, do you have any, do you try to get involved politically at all with road safety issues
that? They do have people that are on the Road Safety Council representatives, so they're probably half a dozen members that from all parts of Australia. They form like a committee and they'll make recommendations, but that's about all. They're not a lobby group as such or anything like that, and generally Ulysses tries to stay out of politics. It's probably the better way to be.
Well, very much so, because unfortunately politics can become awkward. I think that's, yeah, it's an interesting situation with, you know, trying to be influential and look after your members at the same time.
Yeah. Well, road safety is one of the big ones.
Yeah, well, that's what we're mostly concerned about, and we try and highlight that here on Motor Chat as well.
Is there anything in road safety that Ulysses are particularly concerned about?
I don't actually know what their current things are at the moment. They have a road safety meeting at the AGM, so I guess that will all be disclosed then of what their aims are. So I personally, I don't actually know exactly what they are.
It
would be good to find out.
Yeah, it would be.
Then we could perhaps dovetail some of our work with them.
Yeah, that's, I think the Australian Motorcycle Council is very heavily backed by Ulysses members. So I think, you know, within there we've got the opportunity to be able to talk to the to some of the people concerned, especially guys, well, Neville Gray used to be involved in it. Dave Wright from Western Australia certainly is, and I think we need to have him on board as a guest soon. But, yeah, we'll talk about that later.
I'm going to go back to your rides. How often do you ride? You were talking about Sundays and weekdays. But
Sundays are every fortnight. And then we have Wednesday rides, which are every week. And it caters for different people, obviously. The Sunday riders are quite often people that are still working. And that's the time they have off. The Wednesday rides, a lot of that are people who are retired, or they have those, that's the time that they have off.
The flexi time.
So depending on, they might be shift workers or whatever. So we try to cater for all. Sunday rides tend to be a lot more social. If you're going to be a slow rider, you're probably better off going on a Sunday ride. But like I said, we try to maintain speed limits and don't be too aggressive. And like you see some of the guys that are out there on the road, you wonder how they're still alive. But anyway.
So what are some of the destinations that you go to on your rides?
It varies a lot. Invariably, most of the destinations are up in the hills because that's where the great riding
is.
It could be anywhere from Strathalbyn to Bow Hill to Lobethal, Woodside. It varies a lot. They try to mix it up a lot and try to take different routes. Morning Tea is, like I said, is another destination sort of thing. And we usually find either a decent bakery or a good pub so they can have a decent meal. Once that's finished, then it's make your own way home, basically.
Actually, one thing that we've found is that a lot of the incidents occur on that ride home. So a lot of the ride groups that we talk to are using the get people home as well as get them to the destination. So organising that ride home as well is just as important as the ride itself. So if, example, I want to join the Ulysses, how do I do it?
Okay. It's usually done online nowadays, mm-hmm. as with most things. There's a joining fee of $45. That's a one-off fee. And then you pay, and I think it's around $120, but that's for 3 years. So that gets you your membership. And then every 3 years you just repay the next.
So how do I get online? What's the address?
Okay, well, if you want to go to the Adelaide Ulysses site, it's ulyssesadelaide.org.au.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'll say that again, ulyssesadelaide.org.au. That's the Adelaide website.
Yep.
In there we have links to the national website and to all the other branches, mm-hmm. and other things. So if you want to go on that, there's a lot of information on that site, and you can go to the national website through there and put an online application
in.
Right. Yeah.
And
you have to prove that you have a current motorcycle license. Mm-hmm. And that will obviously show your age. So,
damn.
And I suppose on that website too, like with most clubs, you've got people that give you benefits, so discounts here and there, and you've got sponsors. So all of that sort of stuff is available as well.
Yes, they have a magazine that comes out quarterly. Most people get that. Once again, that's online.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of businesses that you can get benefits through. Places like, I think you get discounted QBE for insurance.
Mm-hmm. Just go online and find the people who sponsor the Ulysses.
It's important, just check out those sponsors there and see who's there.
Do you have a Facebook page as well?
There is a Facebook page. It's used by some people, but in fact, there's a lot of our members that don't have computers for a start,
right.
So it's difficult for them.
Yeah.
But
we find that as well, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Maurice, we've come to the end of our time because in the next studio, Belinda's getting ready to ride the Coast Wave, so we're going to have to hand over fairly soon. So in closing, if anybody wants, again, just to repeat, if anybody wants to join the Adelaide Ulysses Club, what's that
address
again?
It's ulyssesadelaide.org.au.
Okay.
Anybody is welcome to come along on any of our rides, or come to any of our meetings. We meet once a month at the Mile End Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They can come along, see what we're about. If they want to join, by all means.
Okay.
Sounds fantastic.
Great, okay. And certainly I think all of us here are old enough to join.
Twice over.
Maurice, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.